But we didn't know. Because our bomb mission had been so secret. No distress signal had been sent. They didn't even list us overdue for a week. Very first light, Chief. Sharks come cruising. So we formed ourselves into tight groups. You know, it's kind of like old squares in a battle, like you see in a calendar, like the Battle of Waterloo, and the idea was, shark comes to the nearest man, that man, he start pounding and hollering and screaming. Sometimes the shark go away. Sometimes he wouldn't go away. Sometimes that shark, he looks right into you, right into your eyes. You know the thing about a shark, he's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living until he bites you, and those black eyes roll over white, and then, oh, then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red, and in spite of all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in, they rip you to pieces.
A new study shows there is a racial disparity among the shark experts. Featured on the Discovery Channel's wildly popular Shark Week.
Well, you know, come to think of it, they don't have no black folk on Shark Week. I hadn't really considered.
Lisa Whitenack loved sharks as a kid. She spent rainy days leafing through a guide to sharks in Reader's Digest. Every summer, she would watch Shark Week, Discovery Channel's annual TV event that spotlights the ocean predator with 7 days of dedicated programming. But when the scientists appeared on her TV screen, she rarely saw any women she could look up to. "Why would I know I could do that?" Whitenack said. "I don't come from a family of scientists. I didn't see very many people that looked like me on the television." This poor woman loved sharks so much, but didn't know that the field of marine biology was open to her because she didn't see women during Shark Week, which is very sad indeed. Think of how many shark experts we could have had. I wonder what became of Lisa. Did she tragically become a school teacher or just a nurse? Did she rise to fame as a Real Housewife of Miami or the poor man's Miami, New Jersey? That's what she saw women doing on TV? She must have been destined for a lifetime of what she saw women doing on TV. Maybe she's the next Mrs. Huxtable. Let's keep reading further to see what poor Miss Whitenack is doing now. Whitenack, now a... wait, how does this work? Biology professor at Allegheny College in Meadville, Pennsylvania, managed to find her way into shark research anyway. Oh, so how'd she know that she could become a marine biologist without ever seeing one on TV? It's a miracle, Ramon. A Christmas miracle. Ramon, you ever heard of a group called the American Elasmobranch Society? Of course you haven't. No, you haven't. They're an academic group that supports the study of sharks and other fish. That group's membership is comprised of, are you ready for this? More women than men. Who would have guessed? Who could have guessed? A little over half, to be precise. Just be proud of what you became. Imagine all the little white kids in America that don't realize they could be an NFL player or an NBA player or, for that matter, a Major League Baseball player. Yeah, I didn't know. I'm not from Puerto Rico. How would I know I could play pro baseball? I could have torn my calf rounding first on the way to a triple. But no. No, I didn't know. How was I to know? Well, here we are. We've got Miss Lisa Whitenack. She can't just be a marine biologist black woman who has succeeded academically in her field. No, 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 no. No, she needs to say, look at me, look at me. I'm a black woman. I'm a black woman. So you got this group called the American Elasmo Branch Society. And it turns out that that group, despite all of her complaining, has more women than men. All them women studying sharks without ever seeing a woman on TV. It wasn't a woman who said you'll need a bigger boat. And these gals are mad that the group's leadership is comprised of about 70% men. They got all the people, but they don't have the leadership. Oh, no. There's a fight a brewing. Yes. Yes. A beer hall putsch in the Elasmo Branch Society of Shark Experts. The ladies are also upset with the Discovery Channel because Shark Week episodes include stories of shark attacks, which leads to fear-mongering, and our favorite NPR host, Kyle Featherbottom, has a report on what he calls the Great White Shark Week.
The following program is only made possible by contributions from listeners like you.
Namaste day to you. I'm your host, Kyle Featherbottom, and you're listening to The Great White Shark Week. On today's program, we will discuss the recent research done by researchers regarding the Discovery Channel's beloved Shark Week. Researchers say Discovery's programming overwhelmingly featured white men as experts on these majestic animals. White men emphasize negative messages about sharks, all sharks except the great white shark. Is it a coincidence that the great white shark has been romanticized by cis white men? I think not. Let's take a deeper dive into the great white shark. This killing machine swims around the ocean as if he owns the world. He devours everything in its path, as most colonizers do. The great white causes havoc and leaves death in its wake, just like cis white men have done throughout history. Is this a shark we should revere as a civilized society? Imagine a diverse week of shark experts. A gay shark expert could tell you the wonders of the silky shark. Lesbian experts may finally highlight the bull shark. And a feminist expert could tell you the wonders of the cow shark. This kind of Shark Week would have me megalodoning my Shark Week hoodie at Starbucks with pride. Following this program, Kelly Gleason will tell you how to make homemade patchouli oil with a saucepan and cheesecloth. Now, let's meditate on how beautiful Shark Week can be with a little diversification.